Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the room where it happens, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Frankie Lampard is top dog at the bridge. Everton have signed Fabian Delph, and Newcastle United have got themselves a Brucey bonus. And when I say Newcastle United, I really mean the Football Ramble.
Yeah,
couldn't believe my luck, gentlemen.
2019 to 20.
File that in that great spot. Yep. Where if you're anything like me, you guys, you'll think that's a real shame for Newcastle. You know, I really feel for them there. But yeah, I also do a football podcast.
Sometimes you have to put yourself first.
To paraphrase Marcus, I couldn't believe Pete's luck. I mean, in the last, you know, the season finale. Of last season, just before we broke up, you were looking at getting taken over by a sheikh, and you were going, it's not going to happen. And you guys were going, oh, Arsenal might be in trouble. And I was thinking, yeah, Arsenal going to be in trouble either way, but this could be particularly bad. Yeah. And this has happened.
Well, they were being linked with if I'm right in saying, two-time Champions League winner Jose Mourinho. That hasn't happened, of course.
No,
that
hasn't come to Bruce. That's time of writing, because obviously Steve Bruce's previous club are a little bit upset.
Oh, they are.
Their nose is very much out of joint.
It is.
The money was not met,
it wasn't.
In their opinion, and they reckon that it may be an illegal appointment.
Let's be absolutely fair. Newcastle United this summer have gone from the magic of Harry Potter to Lord of the fucking Flies.
No, I'll give you more than that.
Please.
We've gone from Steve McLaren to Rafa, back down to Steve Bruce. That is a Bitcoin bounce, if anything.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, the graph for that is all over the place.
It's all over the graph.
It certainly is, yeah. But before we go into Newcastle United a bit more, which of course we will, gentlemen, you know, we're back. And what I like about Bruce's appointment is it happened after, just before, of course, the date which we told you we were going to come back on. So the footballing gods have been kind to us there.
Yeah. Our campaign worked.
Indeed, it did. But we've been away for a few weeks. I want to know what your summer highlights have been so far. Jim, why don't you kick us off?
I mean, this might sound slightly pathetic.
Arsenal signings?
I think people are used to that.
Jim. Yeah.
is it you, Jim, being spotted on top of your fish and chip shop enjoying the sunshine?
No.
Tapping away on your MacBook.
Yeah, you pointed out to me. I didn't think that was that weird because I live above a chip shop, but my flatmate saw me and sort of put it on Instagram. I was like, what's weird about that? And you pointed out, well, no one else knows that you live above a chip shop, Jim.
So the thing is, if anyone listening wants a little glimpse behind the curtain about how pathetic we are as a group, we are all in our late 30s and two of us live above a chip shop.
Not together.
Nothing. No.
It's
nothing.
Separately. Separately.
Pete doesn't live.
He does.
Yeah.
I thought it was an Italian chip shop.
Well, it's an Italian deli and a chip shop.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Chip shop boys.
Marcus was looking like, is it me? No, it's not me, is it?
I'm thinking,
it's one of them. Me.
I thought it can't be Luke.
No, it's not. No. Surprisingly.
So that's your highlight?
No, my highlight, I was high for that, or certainly above street level, but yeah, it's the Arsenal kit launch. That's been the thing I've enjoyed the most.
Yeah,
because the sort of
that.
The nostalgia fest of it has actually been like, oh, that I feel really good. And the video that Ian Wright did, I'm sure fans of every other club thought it was pathetic, as it tends to be the way with
clean your
social
teeth.
Stuff. Yeah, I love that.
Love that.
Yeah.
But Jim, to me, that is, I understand why you're saying that, and I can see why you're just trying to grasp hold of anything you can, and that's absolutely fair enough. No, that's not just an Arsenal fan, that's football fans.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look at what Huddersfield are going through at the moment. That's another
Indeed,
story.
Yeah.
But I think that's quite a PR misstep from Arsenal, because it's like, people are unhappy, they're doing Twitter campaigns, they're talking about the Kroenke family and all the rest of it. Let's give them a kit which reminds them of how good things used to be.
Well, no, because the
let's
campaign...
Let's chuck some sand in their eyes.
Newcastle's kit is apparently a pastiche of the Fairs Cup win.
It's
kit. It doesn't look anything like it.
It's a wonderful nod to history.
Yeah. But the campaigns came after the kit launch, and the bruised banana is referenced as well. And also, what it does is it speaks to the superstitious football fan within me, right? I'm not a superstitious person, but a lot of my favourite memories, a lot of Arsenal's best work has been done in yellow. And that mint green monstrosity is gone, hopefully forever. Mm. And you know, if you can't get on board with the silly, sort of almost like childlike things about football, then, you know, that's sad.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Jim. And I suppose that would lead me to ask you one quick question before we move on and ask Luke what his highlight of the summer is. So getting rid of the green kit, getting the yellow back in, I mean, is that better than a big transfer?
Well, it's a kit transfer,
yeah,
isn't
okay,
it?
Right, we'll
I mean,
it,
yeah, I mean, they're not exclusive,
there
but
we are.
No.
Luke Moore.
I'm going to very, very briefly, so I imagine Pete's got something to say.
Uh-huh.
Genuinely, I'm going to answer this sincerely. The Cricket World Cup final was a
Do you know what? That was going to be mine.
Because it was absolutely ridiculous.
Can we become the cricket ramble for a brief moment?
If every game is like that, then yes, we should.
Like cricket penalties.
I'm not going to. There are going to be people listening who, I know cricket
Sod
can
them.
Be quite divisive.
Them.
I'm not going to try and explain what happened. What I will say is it was amazing. It was probably the best final in any sport I can remember.
I completely agree.
And you should go onto the BBC website or wherever it is. And if you haven't already, check out the highlights, because it was just incredible.
And England won it.
But my American wife, who had no idea what cricket even was until about 2 weeks ago, was out of her seat.
Oh,
that's how crazy it was. It's crazy. It's amazing.
What a wonderful
Check it
win.
Out.
Well, but also, Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer just played out the longest Wimbledon final ever, like about 10 minutes before the cricket finish that happened. And also Lewis Hamilton won the British Grand Prix that day. Like all within a very quick space of each other, geographically not that far from each other. Mm. It's all very weird.
The only thing that could have made that complete that day and made it better would be us finally engineering a no-deal Brexit.
Just forcing it through.
Indeed. So you've gone the Cricket World Cup.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
I mean, I was
thinking World Cup final, more specifically.
I was thinking about, do you know what? If you'd asked me this a couple of weeks ago, I was probably going to go for Alex at Glastonbury, but I've got a bit cynical about that now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of over that already.
Yeah, and also the PSG kit. Look, Paris Saint-Germain, they don't need more PR.
They don't.
You know, all that kind of stuff. Peter!
I'm going to have to go for the US women's team, killing it. Megan Rapinoe getting absolutely trolleyed, becoming a lightning rod for the far right, and then flying back home in Green Day's All Plane.
She is amazing. Did she fly back in Green Day's All Plane?
That was Green Day's, I think, their last album.
That's
good. Their penultimate album.
She also used a great behind the curtain ramble trope as well, didn't she, in that moment?
I deserve this.
Yeah.
Like when she's in the cubicle drinking a beer.
All right, that'll do.
I might be getting this wrong, but I think Marcus went into a toilet.
No, it's Pete.
It was me.
No. I've got this right.
Okay.
Just work with me. Bear with me here.
This is not my George Michael moment.
No. Okay. Marcus, you're going to get away with this fine, don't worry. I think we were away doing a live show somewhere. Marcus walked into a toilet, heard someone in the cubicle, which turned out to be Pete, who had a can of super strength lager and was supping it, saying to himself, not knowing anyone else was there, I deserve this, I deserve this.
I knew you were going to get the story wrong. On purpose.
I got it wrong on purpose. Yeah.
That's fine. I do deserve it. Work with you, absolute idiot.
No one disagrees.
But the real story is, wasn't it, you overheard that exact scenario?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And actually, I mentioned it on a podcast recently, and somebody tweeted a picture of basically a sign that a manager put up at some kind of work that I don't know what it is. Said, see, somebody has been drinking in the toilets. We will find you and we will fire you. So enjoy your drink. It's like, wow, that's really supportive for a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah.
We will find you. We will fire you.
So was that your highlight of the summer?
Yes.
The fact it says enjoy your drink. Well, I can't enjoy it now. I've got that hanging over me.
I just like 37-year-old planes getting their liveries replaced.
You know something with Megan Rapinoe? One thing that's been missed, great sunglasses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she had a great range of sunglasses.
Great sunglasses.
People
yeah.
really,
she's very stylish. She's very stylish.
Yeah. People really hate how much personality she has, which is mad, isn't
it? Zlatan never got anywhere close to the World Cup final. Imagine if Zlatan had got to the World Cup final.
Fair enough.
Not for me. I like it.
Might I just add a quick one? I went to the British season curtain raiser.
Right. Oh, yeah, you were up in Scotland, were you not?
Heart of Midlothian versus Dundee United.
Was it billed as the British season curtain raiser?
It should have been. They really missed the trick. As far as I'm aware, I don't even think there was a competitive match in sort of Wales or Northern Ireland played before that one. So I think it was the first competitive, a proper competitive
league.
Even
before Champions League? Because the Champions League's been going on for months.
That's preliminary.
Yeah,
right.
But you wouldn't call that the...
domestic.
That's
season,
a UEFA game. So okay. It's not in the British domestic league.
They'll be back in domestic concerns soon enough.
It's remarkable to me that people always ask us who Marcus supports. The man is going to watch a Hearts pre-season friendly.
In the Dundee United end. No, I'm joking.
it
wasn't a
pre-season
friendly.
Shirt.
No, it was a competitive game.
Is it a Scottish League Cup game?
It was, first round. Yeah. And do you know what? I had no idea about this. It ended 1-1, which was a bit of a result for Dundee United, who defended most of the game. But that's Robbie Nielsen's tactics for you, Peter, as we're well aware.
Summer tactics.
Because Dundee
Previously
United
fought William, of course.
Indeed. Dundee United are... in the second tier of Scottish football, which is a shame for a great club like that. So the game finished after 90 minutes. Even in the first round, they go to penalties.
That is having your Dundee cake and eating.
It's very important. Your Dundee United cake and eating. Sorry, they're on the same road. You don't get them confused.
Yeah. The only difference is the Dundee United cake has just got a hint of orange about it.
Yeah, exactly.
but of course, you get 1 point for a draw, 3 points for a win. But if you win the penalty, you get 2 points. It's absolutely delightful.
They will try anything to resurrect Scottish football, won't they?
They will indeed. Hearts won the penalty shootout, of course. I didn't check to see how Hearts got on against Stenhouse Muir in the next game in the first round because I assumed it would be a Hearts win. But there we are. The campaign's got off to a flyer, Jim. The penalty shootout win. Right then.
Hearts play Stenhouse Muir on Wednesday, apparently.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so...
Seems like something you'd know if you supported them.
Yeah, jeez. Where's your wall chart?
But it's a gimme, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should be another penalty shootout.
Gloss over that.
Indeed, we will. Let's go back to Newcastle United then, because Steve Bruce has been appointed on a 3-year deal. It was reported that Bruce was the club's 11th choice as manager. They got their man, Peter. They got a man.
They got a manager.
Can we just get a man?
I mean, if that was the 11th
Who's
choice,
born anywhere near still... this vicinity of the city? Do we absolutely have to have a manager? Could the players do it themselves?
Steve Bruce on his long flight over to China. His long flight on his own over to China was thinking to himself, 11th choice. Imagine that was the last thing he saw on his Sky Sports app when he put his phone on airplane mode. Yeah. I just checked Sky Sports. I was the 11th choice. Yeah. I just quickly checked Twitter. Hashtag Bruce out.
I've only just got on the plane. 11th choice, though. As a player, I'd be happy with that. Starting 11.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Shearer said recently that he's good friends with Steve Bruce and they went for dinner recently. And he said, whatever you do, just don't take the job. But he also said, he's 58, so I sort of see why he's done it. It's almost like he's wished for this job on a cursed monkey paw. And he has got it. But he's got it in this way where it's like, you are going to take the ship down with you, though. It's not going to be everything you dreamed
of. Here's
a
quote I read, which I really enjoyed. I got it sent to me, and I don't know who the originator is of it, but if you're listening, good on you. It's very, very good. Former Sheffield United manager Steve Bruce quit Sheffield Wednesday earlier this week. The ex-Sunderland manager has joined Newcastle as their head coach. It seems like the previous Villa and Birmingham manager doesn't care about loyalty.
I like the fact that he's going to be the lowest paid Premier League manager.
Of course he is, Peter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And far be it from me to take this semi-serious for a microsecond.
Yeah, quickly, get that out.
But you'd have to worry... if you're a Newcastle fan, about lots of things, of course, but this one, you have to worry and say, he's got that job because he's the one who's going to toe the line. Absolutely. He's the one who's going to do what Mike Ashley says.
We've got a championship manager that can get us out of that league 13 months, rather, too early. Because we're going down, baby.
If you finish bottom of the Premier League, is that like finishing top of the Championship?
I think you guys have been a bit harsh, actually, because the Right Honourable Richard Keyes tweeted, "Good luck, Brucey. Delighted. It seems British coaching is making a bit of a comeback. Newcastle couldn't have chosen any better. But British coaching is making a comeback because Steve Bruce has got a drill.
Newcastle couldn't have chosen any better. apart from the 10 times they tried to choose better before they chose Steve Bruce.
The glee in your heart, all of you.
Yeah. Just, but you should have your say. It's only fair you have your say.
You can barely kind of contain yourself.
No, I'm with you this season,
I'm just, I'm just enjoying the fact that, like, you know, the usual talking heads. Kevin Nolan's done a heel turn, hasn't he?
Has he? On the radio,
He's on the radio sort of piping up. He's in Ashley's. He's clearly on a promise with Ashley or something. They're due a night out together or something.
Big Danny Mills was piping up as well, wasn't he, so?
He will pipe up. He will. Upset everyone, but yeah, and they're sort of saying, "Oh yeah, they always want a Geordie up there." Blah, blah, blah. Sorry, he's from Corbridge, which is some 20 miles west of Newcastle.
Well, that's not. He was born in Corbridge, but he actually lived.
What does that mean?
He lived. Well,
Geordie, mate. He's got the Geordie one.
He went to school in Newcastle.
Was he born within Geordie Bow Bells?
I think he was. But
that's Carlisle, Marcus.
They lived in Wall's End. I think, which is, I don't know if that's technically.
Yeah, Shearer said he plays for Wall's End Boys, I did.
I'm just saying, Marcus. Yes. Where do we draw the line on Geordies?
Marcus, constantly called a plastic Geordie.
We don't go west 25 miles west of Newcastle.
I'm just saying that if you have to be born.
But we do go about 1,000 miles to Andalusia.
And Shawler as well.
What about Yarm?
Yarm is lower than Middlesbrough.
Right.
More Middlesbrough.
So if you're a southerner, like Cockney Maffrey and all that, you're not welcome.
No.
But if you go really far south, you are welcome.
Yeah.
He sort of goes
Newcastle in Australia.
Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah.
But it's just all bollocks. It's just all bollocks.
It is all bollocks. It's tedious. Absolutely right. Rafa obviously left in June saying the club did not share his vision. I mean, presumably his vision was try and run a club properly
or
and
just
win some games. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, it's heartbreaking for Newcastle fans. And I really feel for you there, man, as well, because this is your nightmare coming true, isn't it? We sort of, you know, we've always sort of had, you know, digs at you for being sort of a little bit cynical about Newcastle, but you tend to be right, because Mike Ashley is just this unshiftable
blob,
ridiculous Jabba the Hutt style figure. And it's just, I cannot believe that being in the situation with having a manager like Rafa Benitez for three seasons, it's the opportunity in front of Ashley has just been thrown away like that.
Can I perhaps offer the counter to that and say that Dali and Yifang lost 4-1 last time out to Guangzhou Evergrande, and Paulinho scored a hat trick?
Would it surprise you to say, I was like, this is for me to say that
then.
I was watching that match?
Were you?
You must have a
tear in my eye.
You must have the Yifang third kit by
one
now.
One all at half time. I actually quite like the Newcastle, because they're in China at the moment. They've changed their betting sponsor logo to be all in Chinese. I'm like,
was there any cold comfort from Newcastle's performance against Wolves yesterday?
Is this what this season's going to be like?
I don't know.
I might just relinquish my Newcastle supporters.
Yeah, to be fair,
supporters club membership.
Look, they lost 4-0. To Wolverhampton Wanderers in the Premier League.
One of the best own goals you will ever see.
Oh yeah, it was a lovely
the Premier League Asian Trophy semi-final. But of course, Bruce was on his way, wasn't there.
Yeah.
So presumably he's going to turn up and save the day. And if there is a third place match, then they're in contention.
If a man ever was flying in with pants over the top of his trousers to save the day, it was Steve Bruce
in the
on
Bruce
that player. Air Asia flight.
In the Bruce wing.
It's not Steve Bruce. It's Bruce Wayne.
Look, I just...
He's with Alfred the Butler.
Yeah.
He's got his pants over his trousers. Yeah. He's got a mask on.
Kitting out the Bruce Cave.
Is that a thing what happens if you want to save a day, you put your pants over
your trousers? That's what Superman does, right? And Batman have got their pants over their trousers, right? That's what it looks like.
What, are they doing that to save their pants?
I don't know why they do it,
Steve,
but they do it.
With your pants on outside your trousers.
Oh, how weird, then. They pick themselves disorganised. Yeah.
But I know you can't read too much into pre-season games, because people, I know that certain coaches like to do it different ways.
No, they don't be worried about
that. No, but they did look all over the place. to be absolutely fair, they looked all over the place. They were playing players I'd never even heard of.
We got Elian Sorensen in the squad.
He came on, didn't he?
Oh dear. Well, of course, Newcastle's outgoings this summer include Modiyama, who's been released. Ozie Perez.
He's never not released. Modiyama. He is a loose player.
Very much so.
Legs everywhere.
He's a freelance player.
He's 0 hours contract player. Definitely at Newcastle. Iosi Perez to Leicester City.
A lot of money.
Got to
I think that if Rafa was still at the club, he'd still be okay with that transfer. That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
That's what the straw that broke the camel's back. Benitez saw that happening on Sky Sports News ticker.
Yeah.
Called up Ashley and went, well, can I have a bit of that money then?
Yeah.
No, that's 30 million quid. Just have a bit of that. No, right, that's it.
I've turned him into a footballer.
If you want players, buy them out of your own pocket. Yeah. Richard Keys suggested that, and he knows what he's
talking
about.
Richard Keys literally said that.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. That was literally one of his good ideas that made it to Twitter.
Maybe that's why he's got to try to get the money.
The agenda against Champions League and La Liga winning coach Rafa Benitez in some sections.
Imagine if Rafa put something out on his own website saying, look, I heard from Richard Keys, what I'm going to do, 12 million a year at Dalian Yifang, 2 years of that.
And I'll come back.
I'll come back 15 million in my bin and I'll buy a player for Newcastle and I'll come back.
I'll sign Ronan on a permanent.
Yeah.
Like literally a man who has scored loads of goals for Newcastle that is available for a reasonable price, but because he's over a certain age, they ain't bothering going for him. Who knows the area, who's presumably could be settled. He enjoyed a season under Rafa Benitez.
Was, of course, born in Newcastle as well.
Exactly. Born in the under the auspices of Newcastle, like City Centre.
Just a stone's throw in Venezuela.
It's ridiculous. A Hossolu to Alaves.
I mean, less of a shame, but I mean,
Charlie was sad about that, wasn't he? Charlie works with us, a Newcastle fan. He was sad about that.
He seemed very sad.
Hossolu is an incredibly sweet man on Twitter.
You're a big
fan.
He loves
his family.
Yeah. A few fringe players have been released going to lower clubs as well.
Marcus, don't worry, Alex Bruce will be signing imminently.
Well, I hope so, because despite all that and what's going on, currently no one has been signed.
Well, Joel Linton's been linked, which is a weird way of spelling Charlie Austin. I think we can all agree. Who will inevitably end up there now.
Well, the big licks is that Graham Carr is back at the club, and so he's going to be doing his moneyball shit all over the place. But
he's going to.
I'd hand some. I mean, because Steve Bruce has, you know, constantly got a good reputation for like bringing players on, improving footballers.
Oh yeah,
and not buying all plodders and sticking them at the back and just defending for all hell's
sake. Well, it's a situation we will be very much watching at the Football Ramble as this season.
I'm just stepping back. I kind of just want to junk the whole project.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
but it is actually quite heartening to see. I think the only reason why they got for the Gillette at this point and not a little bit later on is that they will be worried about the first match of the season. It's against Arsenal. It's at home. There is a little bit more appetite for for people not turning up. And I think...
Not even to see that Arsenal kit.
Well, exactly. Like, just I don't think they'll play Joe Linton in any pre-season friendlies because they don't want Newcastle fans. They want Newcastle fans to turn up on the first of the season to see their new man.
They haven't signed him.
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, so they can't play.
But if they do,
that's part of it.
If they do, but that's what I mean. This is the salve. They're going to try and get him in to make people turn up for the first game of the season. I don't think it's going to work.
Because there's a boycott plan.
There's a massive boycott.
Oh, blimey, I'd imagine so. Well, there's the Newcastle United project. We've scorned.
And it is a project.
It is a project. What about the project down in West London, Frankie Lampard becoming the Chelsea manager? Eh?
Yeah.
Which was predicted a while ago by one Luke Moore.
It was. I won't lie to any of our listeners by saying that I tasked a couple of people who worked with us to try and find that on one of the earlier shows of the year so we could load it up.
You're unliked.
Couldn't find it. No one could find it. I don't think they bother trying, to be honest.
No, I can do that.
Linking Lampard to the Chelsea job, you know, was a stab in the dark, but it has come true. But still, credit where credit's due, Luke Moore. It certainly has happened quicker.
Listen, you need to claim what you can.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. But Lampard said he's happy with the players and their attitudes, and he spoke about having a keen eye on the academy players coming through and wanting to give youngsters a chance. Hopefully that will come to pass. Because we've been
sort of thing you would say when you've got a transfer ban.
You're absolutely right.
Even with the transfer ban in mind, they've recalled a lot of their loan players, the sort of the more, you know, the ones that are closer to being ready. So they might actually look a little bit different this season. So coming back, they've got Ethan Ampadu, Kurt Zouma, Mason Mount, Timu Bakayoko, who'll probably go out again, Michy Batshuayi, and obviously Christian Pulisic is coming in. So, I mean, that's quite significantly different if you add those players in.
Lampard did say yesterday, I think, that he's fairly certain Ampadu will go on.
Yeah, he did say that. Sorry.
But also, Mason Mount played, Mason Mount has been playing pre-season.
Be good to see him sort of play more regularly, him and Cheek also as well. And Marco van Ginkel is still a Chelsea player. Been there since 2013.
Him and Winston Bogard doing Kiki Biafis at training.
Absolutely incredible. It's a shame. Because obviously he got an injury straight away, a really bad one, but still. But yeah, I mean, obviously you would think as well that N'Golo Kante will probably play in his favoured position. So, you know, I mean, I don't think Chelsea
are going to
have a
tilt
at the title.
Do you think Lampard will do away with Jorginho?
Well, I think he'll prefer Kante where he is. He's even spoken about giving Danny Drinkwater a chance, hasn't he? So,
blimey.
Well, I guess we don't know really fully what his particular formation is going to be with the players that he's got.
They have made one signing though, which is getting Kovacic on a permanent, of course.
And Pulisic obviously comes in.
But the business done earlier.
But the Van Ginkel thing is really interesting, Jim, because he signed in 2013. He's made two league appearances in 6 years. That's crazy.
I mean, he was with PSV last season.
Oh yeah, no, he's been out on loan, of course. Yeah. Of course he has. Yeah, he's been at PSV for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's done very well there as well. But it's an interesting one.
Maybe you never know. He could come back in from the cold.
That would be quite something. It's a shame for him though that he doesn't get a permanent somewhere, unless of course, you know, deep down he wants to fight for his position at Chelsea, which seems unlikely.
Someone was pointing out, I read something today, it might have been Daniel Story, who said that for 3 years in a row, for the first time ever, the top six in the Premier League has been the same for the last three seasons. But if you look at it, there's a few teams in there. Chelsea have obviously got a transfer ban and a new manager. Man United have got Solskjaer. Arsenal have got their problems. You would say probably Liverpool, Man City and Tottenham are okay. But the teams that are directly below, West Ham, Wolves, Leicester, Everton, all making big moves.
Yeah.
It could go either way this season. It's actually going to be really interesting.
Well, the idea of a top six is a bit of a strange run anyway, isn't it? Because, you know, it used to be the top four was what you were talking about.
And it was the top two for a while.
Oh, indeed. Yeah,
Man United, Arsenal years.
Well, you could
that exact issue where it's those same teams in the top six is quite a new thing. So there's no reason that won't change.
Yeah, but there is a danger that there could be a top two now for the next few years.
Well, there sort of was, wasn't there anyway?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, but then you could say, it depends. Lampard at Chelsea, I think, is fascinating. I really hope he does well in the spirit of Richard Keys and British managers. But it is a huge gamble for Chelsea. You have to say.
Will Jody Morris lose his job when he gets fired? That's the question. He's been very good for the youngsters of that club, and everybody talks with glowing reviews about how good Jody Morris is. But will he lose his job when Frank gets fired is the question.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, it could be part of
as long as they don't play Bohemians again. One all draw, guys.
Very
one
true.
All draw.
I think, oh dear. But Lampard said he likes to play with aggression and pace and all that kind of stuff. And I think,
shots from 35 yards.
Absolutely. Yeah, deflected shots from 35 yards.
Can you teach deflections? Can you train for those?
If there's one man who can.
With the new handball rules, mate, there's going to be a lot of weird stuff going on.
Imagine the first day of the season, like there's a move in a Chelsea game where just all 11 outfield players arrive late into the penalty area.
Everyone's hanging on the corner of the box.
Yeah, do not mess it up, because otherwise we leave ourselves horrendously exposed at the back. Yeah, okay, well, we look forward to seeing what old Frankie can do at the bridge. Righto, ladies and gentlemen, time for a break, and after which we'll talk about some summer transfer deals in the Prem.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It was extraordinary.
Certainly was. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Now then, big news, people. Big news from Monday, 5th of August. The Football Ramble will become Football Ramble Daily.
What?
Yes, a new podcast every day, Monday to Saturday, including your usual rambles, of course. We're not going anywhere. And some exciting new faces as well. Make sure you're subscribed on the Ramble feed. The Ramble feed to ensure you never miss an episode.
It's kind of a bit like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, isn't it?
I'm going to turn
Pete's
up
Iron
in,
Man.
I'm going
to. No, you're not Iron Man. Who
I
would
could
you
turn
be?
Up in different kinds of Iron Man
Hulk.
Clubs.
I can see Pete's the Hulk.
I think Pete's very techie though, isn't he? Probably would be Iron Man.
Yeah.
Three. I'm not very rich, or if I was, I don't know how to hold on to any money.
No. Well, he spends all his stuff on tech stuff. I mean, he spends all his money on gadgets and all that.
Who are you, Luke?
Huge.
Thor, probably.
Oh yeah, probably.
Oh, who's the main one?
Juggernaut, is that the one?
Sexy man.
I'd like to be Silver Surfer, but he's been criminally overlooked in the Marvel Cinema. Silver Surfer was always my favourite growing up.
Yeah, there's nerdy reasons why he's not been in that, but
we'll talk about that later, Jim. All right.
But now it's time for emails with PTD.
Emails. Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees! Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
We've got a new email jingle that I will be debuting the week of Football Ramble.
People are going to get so much new, fun, interesting stuff.
They're going to lose their shit.
From Monday the 5th of August. But it's important to say to the certain type of listener out there, but it's still going to feel familiar and nice and warm and like an old pair of slippers, so don't panic.
Yes. One of the shows is me speaking entirely in French.
It is.
We are also now the type of people that are doing trailers for a jingle.
Consider that a teaser for the trailer that will come out for the new jingle for the show.
Yeah. It's snackable content. It is. Like Twitter stuff.
I'm going to say glanceable fun.
Yeah, which is what Pete's been described as many a time.
That's why I wrote on my body. Yeah. I'm glanceable fun. Please don't look at him, children. Got an email for just a quick couple of things to tie loose ends, let's say, to tie up over the summer months.
Is this an apology section?
No.
What have you been doing?
It's a lot of hatred for me talking about England fans last season, but I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hello to Jakob, who actually immortalised my "Trust is a two-way street and I can't drive" quote.
Oh yes, I saw this.
He put it in his college leavers. I think in America you've got like a yearbook sort of thing. Yeah, he's the Alison Niguel High School class of 2019 yearbook. I graduated early in December. I've been spending time back home in Bratislava before going off to uni in Glasgow in September.
So for people who aren't familiar with that, you get a photo in the yearbook which then you can get a copy of, and underneath you get a quote which sort of sums up your school or your ambitions or whatever. Yeah. And he used a Pete Donaldson quote in his yearbook.
Yeah. Things are going to get better for Jakob.
I hope this starts a movement.
Thank you, Jakob. We got an email from a man literally trying to sell us a helicopter. I don't know what that's all about. It's just a man selling a helicopter.
I'm interested.
We don't need to get into it.
We can talk together for that.
Hello to Ben Bennett. Probably not often you hear from Macau, but the Ramble is a global entity these days, and we are. So here's
Macau,
probably,
did you say?
Yeah.
I thought you said Macau.
Yeah, I thought that.
Yeah.
Oh, the island of Macau.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of gambling. Here's probably the most exciting / farcical story to come from the region. In response to the Macau FA's terrible decision to withdraw their team from the World Cup qualifying on the basis of feeling unsafe to travel to Sri Lanka following their first leg victory, and definitely not the FA's reluctance to have to pay for an actual qualifying campaign.
Right.
No.
The two local sides played out a comical 21-18 scoreline in their cup semi-final in protest. The other semi did end 2-2-1, so maybe those lot didn't get the memo.
Right.
Enjoying the absolute insanity going over in Macau.
It's good to have little missives from that part of the world.
Yeah. Ben, keep us posted, for crying out loud. Enjoyable. Hello to who have we got here? Stu. Just in case Pascal Chimbonda's Beckham-esque free kick for Wigan wasn't enough of a legacy, he's recently been kicked out of Goals, which is a five-a-side company in the northeast for getting aggy. He just kicked off, gave a high tackle, and was and had to spend the rest of the day in the reception area of Goals.
The rest of the day
in the northeast. Well, he was waiting for everyone to finish.
I think
football.
It was a seven-a-side game, was it? But he said that he was getting kicked all over the place, and it was ridiculous. And he just no protection from the ref. Yeah,
no protection from the ref.
But apparently, a lot of footballers that of a certain level do try and keep their fitness up over the summer, playing in Goals in the northeast, which is enjoyable.
He's not in net. He's in the, as you say, he's playing five or seven.
Power league.
When Andy Brassel did Danny Higginbotham on the latest Ramble Meet, which is available now, Danny Higginbotham says on that he used to keep getting in trouble with his dad because he wanted to keep playing with his mates when he was signed by United, and he used to get one of his mates to keep watch.
in case his dad
came down to the local park, he'd be in big trouble.
It is nice that someone who is a professional footballer still likes to play the level.
And Mickey Gray said on Ramble Meets that he, when he was signed by United, he used to knock around the streets with his mates playing keepy-ups and stuff still.
So. Well, I think Wayne Rooney used to do that.
Oh, BMX. Wayne Rooney was the famous BMX photo, wasn't he?
Yeah.
The day or so after he scored that goal for Everton against Arsenal, he was photographed. Wherever he's from Toxteth or Croxteth on his BMX.
I remember I played against Michael Gray. I think was a Man City player at the time.
Oh my. Michael Brown.
Wasn't he on a bike as well?
No, a friend, one of his friends turned. No, a man came to attack one of his friends with a hammer on a bike. Right, but the less said about that, the better.
It's a heartwarming tale for all the family.
Yeah, here's another one. Sam, hey guys, I know it's the summer, so you're probably not checking these too often. I am. However, I feel it would be remiss in my duty as a Ramble follower if I did inform you of my recent encounter with Mark McGee, who recently came into our office to flog Bitcoin sales to our company.
So Mark McGee is now selling Bitcoin.
Oh, he's all over the places, Mark McGee.
Mark McGee, whatever you say about him, he's a good footballing man.
Yeah.
He is a good footballing man.
A resurgence of new British managers.
Yeah. He's
as Richard Keys would say. You've got, you know, you've got Steve Bruce at Newcastle. Yeah. You've got Frank Lampard at Chelsea. You've got Mark McGee selling Bitcoin.
After the first 10 minutes, it became apparent that this would not be a fruitful meeting and he was asked to leave. You'll all be pleased to know that he's still rather an angry man.
Yeah. So hang on, it was like door to door.
Yeah, like just kind of cold calling on Bitcoin sales.
Where are your Bitcoins? In this bag? Yeah, hang on, Mark.
I really don't feel like Mark McGee could explain Bitcoin to me.
No, he's actually quite tech savvy. That's what he's kind of into at the moment. He was trying to get Ed Sheeran to play in Mumbai, I think, in recent memory. He sort of rang up somebody that he knew in Scotland, who I think he played Hampton Park, and he rang up and he got in touch with Ed Sheeran's management and sort of said, can you play in India, please? And they went, no, he's been there recently. So, and then he took that. He actually said that in a news story about him being the big swinging winky around town.
The big swinging winky. do you know that Mark McGee, he was a quick, this is just nice to hear the name. Mark McGee was briefly manager of Eastbourne Borough down in Sussex earlier this year, but was replaced at the end of the season by Lee Bradbury.
Blimey.
Remember Lee Bradbury?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, this is the old story about Lee Bradbury when...
I don't remember him. He sounds like a bully at school.
Lee Bradbury played for... Like, I'm probably going to get this wrong, but the story sentiment is nonetheless going to be entertaining, I promise you. Lee Bradbury played for Portsmouth. He was signed by Man City for a colossal fee of $3.5 million at the time. And the story goes that when the chairman came down to sit next to the manager to see Lee Bradbury in a training session or a pre-season friendly or whatever, for the first time, having paid $3.5 million for him, he punched the manager in the face.
Wow.
A lot of time for that.
That's how happy he was with it.
Quick one from Liam Hutchins. I'm sure you've all heard the news that Yokohama FC have signed ex-Celtic dead ball specialist, 41-year-old Shunsuke Nakamura. In their quest for promotion. He's going to be lining up alongside the legendary King Kazoo at 52, giving their potential front line a combined age of 93 years.
Oh, man.
Liverpool's front three, Salah, Mane, Firmino, have a combined age of 81. Let's hope their season isn't ruined by an unexpected
I love that.
Snap.
You can play a high line against them.
Yeah. You really
They're not
can.
Getting in behind.
No.
Marvellous stuff.
A lot of time for that. If there you want to get to the show, it's showatthefootballramble.com.
Yes. Certainly is. All right, then. Let's talk about some summer transfer deals that have happened in the Prem. Man United have spent big on Aaron Wan-Bissaka. They've got him. Mm. They've got Daniel James in, who is the new Ryan Giggs, shall we say, because he's Welsh and he's fast.
Did you see him in the game? Man United have just secured a confidence-boosting pre-season win against Leeds United.
Saw that, yeah.
And did you see Daniel James hit the post?
He did.
My goodness me. You've got to go and watch it. Someone's got the ball. Yeah. Forget who it was. Might be Rashford. And he's got a couple of defenders. He's on the counter-attack. And then from out of nowhere... Daniel James, his legs are moving so fast. It reminded me, I'm not saying he's going to be a player like this, but the quickness of his legs reminded me of the original Ronaldo. It's so fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like that. And he
Sonic the Hedgehog style.
Basically, and he eventually hits the post.
But you've got to finish them off, is what you're saying.
100%.
Yeah.
And so therefore, he is a waste of money. No, he's just amazingly fast.
I did enjoy Fred the Red basically mooning the Leeds fans as well.
Did he?
Delightfully immature.
Yeah. Paul Pogba's still there at the time of recording.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
So again, delightfully immature.
Yeah. I think their next match is against Inter Milan, so he might just stay there.
Paul Pogba's not going
Lukaku anywhere.
Pogba's probably not going anywhere because Mino Raiola is too busy in Turin getting chanted at by Juventus fans upon the transfer of Matthijs de Ligt.
I've missed that. What was the chant?
Mino Raiola's getting back in his car and the fans who have assembled, this is right, isn't it, Marcus, to see De Ligt just start chanting the name of Mina Raiola.
Mina.
Yeah.
I think the whoever put it on Twitter said this encapsulates modern football. An agent is getting chanted at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, positively. Didn't Cristiano Ronaldo buy him an island as a birthday gift? I mean, that is the world we're in.
It sounds like the sort of thing he was doing. Wasn't Madeira, was it?
yeah, indeed. But they've not currently signed, or not currently managed to sign, Harry Maguire or Bruno Fernandes. Manchester United linked with those two players. If they got them in, I know they'll be rather a lot of money, but they need signings. You know, that would be good business. But I mean, they may not get one or either of them. So we shall wait and see.
But Wan-Bissaka is a good addition.
Wan-Bissaka is a good addition. I just look at Man United and I think nothing's changed significantly.
Not really.
I mean, if Bruno Fernandes, they signed him, that would be a hell of a signing.
Yeah.
But really, you're sort of saying to him, by the way, can you single-handedly get us out of this? Can you turn this club around on the pitch and really start to pull the strings and all that kind of stuff? Because I don't think what's going on at the club is, you know, nothing's changed significantly,
Is it fair to give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer a pre-season, which is something he's not had?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it would be ridiculous if they sacked Solskjaer now, unless they, you know, managed to nick Guardiola or something. But I'm just saying that...
That seems likely.
It does. Yeah. But I'm saying that nothing has changed significantly at the club, if at all. So, therefore, we expect more of the same from Manchester United. The only kind of signing in which they could significantly improve on the pitch would be to get someone like Bruno Fernandes. You know, we all saw him for Sporting and what a good player he is. And you know, Man City were interested in him and all that. I mean, he may go there, he may not go anywhere, we'll see. But if they could get him in, I think that would be the only thing that would maybe think...
The worry is for United fans, surely, is that they only won two of their last 10 games in all competitions last season.
Well, that's what I mean. That's why that would be a significant signing, because getting a right back or Daniel James, they're good signings, but Wan-Bissaka's not going to drag that team up single-handedly, is he?
Sure.
No.
Do you think they're falling into the trap of just trying to get marquee signings in through the door rather than having like a coherent plan?
Maybe.
Because the reason I say that is because, you know, I saw Man City... in pre-season yesterday, and they played, I mean, they made a lot of changes, as you'd expect, but they started with a first 11, and a load of the players they started with I'd never heard of, but they all slotted in. There was never a conversation with Man City about, oh, they're going to have to play a slightly different system because a player's missing. If they do play a slightly different system, it's because Guardiola wants to, but everyone knows where they go, everyone knows where they fit, and if he gets a young player comes through, I forget his name, but a young midfield player yesterday played one of the best passes I've seen for a long time to set up a goal, and I'd never heard of him before, but he knew exactly what he was doing in that role. It just seems a lot more coherent,
well,
and here it doesn't feel like that.
Well, because Liverpool and Man City are far more coherent, and that's my point. Is
I think, to be fair though, sorry Marcus, to cut, you know, that's probably true of most teams other than City and a few exceptions, isn't it?
Maybe.
I mean, it's very difficult to get the exact,
but we don't judge Man City against like an everyman team.
City, Liverpool, and even Spurs, you'd say, have a bit more of an idea, whereas Manchester United, but that's why I think Fernandes, the type of player who can come in and, you know, a lot could go through him, he could score a few goals, assists and all that kind of stuff. You know, he'd be that type of player.
Yeah, it's what's very interesting to me is that it looks like Lukaku is quite keen on this move to Inter, and it looks like it's probably good for the club and the player as well. But there's not much talk of who comes in if that happens. It seems like maybe Marcus Rashford would lead the line because he's just signed a big new deal.
And
maybe
people are assuming that's going to be fine, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which is probably a bit premature as well, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, maybe. What about, let's see who we got here. Sheffield United, obviously promoted up to the big leagues. They've brought in big Phil Jagielka.
What a heartwarming story.
Yeah. He's coming in as a goalkeeper, right?
Can do, mate.
Only against Arsenal.
Yeah,
like he did before.
And he changed his name, of course. One of the few players during the career that's changed their name in the middle of a career. Like, he's gone from Jagielka to Jagielka.
Okay.
Of course, also Jermaine Jenas became Jermaine Genus.
And
Andy Cole.
Became Andrew Cole, of course. It does happen.
James Campbell became Jim Campbell.
He did. Yeah.
You know, don't forget that. So nice to see Big Phil back in there.
They've also picked up Ravel Morrison as well.
They have.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Ravel Morrison on a free, of course.
How many chances is that man going to get?
Well, since QPR...
He's had more chance than Pete Donaldson.
He has.
In a legal sense, too.
Yeah.
Since QPR, you remember him playing there, he's played in Mexico, apparently did okay, and then in Sweden. Should
Ostersund.
Be interesting. Yeah, he was at Ostersund.
It's funny how he does okay at places where no one can literally watch him play.
Yeah.
Or he's away from his friends.
Yeah.
Or no one cares if he shouts things on Twitter.
Clearly he's a very talented player. Everyone raves about him.
Well, you say that, but I mean, we've only seen flashes of it, isn't it? It's like the Adel Tarap thing. It's like...
It is.
Sometimes, because a player has quite a flash style and they appear to be quite silky, Do people overestimate their talent?
Alex Ferguson said he was the best. He brought Wayne Rooney over to watch him and said, wow, he is the best footballer. He's better than you. He's better than Ronaldo. But unfortunately, the guy's a bit of a shit.
Well, I mean, Jim, you have to say, I mean, you know, I'm taking people like Sir Alex Ferguson's name.
Absolutely. It's just something I wonder about. I mean, is perhaps that is sometimes the case, but obviously Alex Ferguson knows more than I do.
I think it's a bit unfair to compare him to someone like Tourette as well, because Tourette's actually won trophies. I mean, not major trophies, but he has been an important part of teams who've won things.
He's played in seasons. Do you know what I mean?
Like, he's appeared consistently for a football team.
I get the point you're saying there, Jim. Totally agree, but it, to an extent. But as
the
Luke
season,
says,
the season that QPR won the championship, 10-11. Tourette was in the team of the season. Yeah. I mean, he was a good player. Yeah, he was consistent throughout the season.
Was Revel Morrison, when he went to Lazio, you think that might be quite a good move. Yeah.
And how many times did you restart again?
He played 18 times for Atlas on loan from Lazio. Was he loaned? Yeah, he was loaned to Queen's Park Rangers and then Atlas. He played 18 times. He's only beaten that number once with Birmingham City on loan and back in 2012.
Is he 26 now?
Yeah.
You see, you think to him, oh, well, he's still 21, 22.
And the other thing, the other aspect of this is coaches, because to get where they are, they have to be confident, they have to back themselves, be aware of their own abilities and really kind of have a bit of a swagger about them. Every coach is the coach that thinks, oh yeah, I can get this player.
Massively,
it happened with Balotelli.
Yep.
Every coach thought, you know what, I'm the man to turn this around and get him focused. And it's always proven really hard.
Oh my God, where's Ben Arfa gone? Graham Carr's back at the club.
Get him back.
Oh, a silver lining. I've just located one.
Peter, well, you've invented one.
Yeah, exactly. It's done, Peter. It's done. I'm sorry to say. A man who I would describe as delightfully lovely and ferocious, Fabian Delph.
Ferocious Fabian.
Indeed, yeah. He's moved to Everton for 10
million. Delightfully lovely, ferocious Fabian.
Whenever I hear...
Sounds like a fragrance.
Yeah, well, whenever I see him interviewed, he always just seems like lovely and delightful.
Did you see Raheem?
And on the pitch, though, cool, that's what you want.
I think he seems like a lovely chap.
10 million.
It's a good deal.
He's 29, I think.
It's a good deal.
I think that's an excellent sign.
Did you see Raheem Sterling's Instagram?
No.
Raheem Sterling just posted a picture of a bird's eye view of Fabian Delph's dome-like head. And it just said something like, along the lines of, great player, great lad, see you later, big head.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's
the size of people's heads.
Delph loved it. He posted a few laughing emojis, Pete. So he's on board.
He's on board.
Yeah.
Delph is a good professional, as we know. He hasn't played that much at Man City, as we know. But I think he's raring to go. And he is. He's one of the few kind of anomalies that Gareth Southgate would consistently pick, even though Southgate said, I'm only going to pick players that play. But with Delph, he's been important parts of squads at times. But you saw in that Man City documentary and so on, he's a big presence.
Yeah,
in the dressing room, and he is.
I think it's a good move, Marcus.
Yeah,
it's Gareth Barry, isn't it? He's going down the Gareth Barry Highway.
Yeah, he is a bit, isn't he?
They do pick up players.
I think it's a Gareth Barry B road.
Yeah, very much.
Feels
so.
A bit
very,
like
very
it can't be
so.
A highway really with Barry. I like Barry, but he's not a highway kind of guy.
I know what you mean. I do agree with that. Yeah, well, they've also got Andre Gomes in on a permanent, of course. Yeah. Haven't
they're
been?
Looking good.
Yeah,
it's a rock solid midfield that looks like now, doesn't it? Gomes, you feel that will be a bit better because he's had another year to acclimatise.
Yeah, but then there was talk of Idrissa Gana Gueye maybe moving on because I think PSG.
He was desperate to go PSG. Didn't he do a Peter Odem Wingy?
I think.
And head over there.
I don't think it was that bad.
And everyone's like, what are you doing here? Paris is a lovely city, but what are you doing here?
In your bare feet with the Toblerone that you got. And the way.
Yeah.
But one man we won't see in the Premier League this coming season is Peter Crouch.
Yeah. He's retired. A servant to humour and football.
I thought you could say humanity there.
Yeah. Well, humanity.
In the wider context.
It's what else? Football, humour, what's left?
He wants to do sort of comedic football podcasts as well.
Yeah, we might fuck have to off, try and shut
him. Prick. Pisses me off.
Terrible idea.
Come at the king, you best not miss Crouch.
His reach is longer than ours, though, isn't it? In a number of ways.
In every single way.
He's called Peter Crouch, and he presumably has to a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just figure that out.
At the end of his career, that's just clicked for me. That's dreadful, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
Isn't that awful? When I was in Japan, I went to a sumo wrestler's house, and all of the doorways.
Come on.
Sorry. What,
did he know you
all
were there?
All of the doorways were like really wide.
Yeah.
Fascinating. They're
just the paper ones, though.
Just walk through.
Well, how did that happen?
I presume he got an engineer.
Why were you there?
I just met up with some friends who happened to be in a sumo wrestler's house. They happened to work in an ex sumo wrestler's house. I believe he owns it, and this company that they were all working for rents it. And hilariously, the people who rented it before were pornographers. So there was a lad eating his tea in the kitchen, on the kitchen table, and someone just showed him the video and went, That's where you're eating your dinner, mate. I've just picked up a bit of noodle off the bloody table, mate. Yeah.
So it's just all massive paper doors and glory holes.
And porn, yeah.
They probably wiped it down.
Yeah.
Before we move on, can I just quickly say...
That's what we've used the studio for in the summer.
Yeah,
so.
I bet. I wouldn't be surprised, Donaldson. West Ham fans will be surprised and quite happy to see Sebastian Haller come in, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I bring this up is because there's this curse of the West Ham striker. Mm-hmm. Under Golden Sullivan, West Ham have been through 38 strikers.
It's the sexy end of football,
in
Luke.
9 years.
Yeah. Well, on the continent, Andy Brassel touted Allah.
So he was good.
And that's his name. I'm not talking about Allah. Yeah, you dropped the H because he's French. Yeah. They were touting him.
Allaire, probably. Sebastian Allaire.
Let's just call him Haller.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But Sebastian is the man to break the curse.
But that, you know, and the 38 strikers, apparently, this is according to something I read in the Daily Mirror, since January 2010, when Sullivan and Gold took over, between all 38 strikers, they have only managed to score 203 goals in 957 games. That's one goal every 4.7 games.
That's a real shame.
They've had a real paucity of them. So we'll see what happens with them.
They've had a bit of bad luck with some of them. Obviously, Andy Carroll's injured a lot. And I heard that Diafra Sakho, because he started really, really well. He looked like he was going to be a bit of a world beater. But apparently, he was away on international duty and he had a bit of an injury. And it came back and it was worse. And there was a lot of talk that it was actually the physio that made his problem worse. And it was never the same.
Shout out to Kieran Trippier going to Atletico Madrid.
Yes, well, again, that's a big one as well. Yeah.
On the continent, the Andy Brassel and James Hawkins, they talk about that quite eloquently. So there is a bit of chat there. But you're absolutely right. It's a big transfer. And good to see an Englishman.
He needs a move. He's in a poor season.
And if he needs to improve defensively, he will get opportunities under Diego Simeone. All right then. Off to a quick break.
I wasn't clattering on.
Yeah. In stereo. Yeah. Enjoyable.
Oh, dearie me. Now then, gentlemen, there's other bits and pieces, some good old football happenings that have happened over the summer as well. Luke, there was something in the African Cup of Nations that took your fancy.
I've kind of changed my mind. That was good. Wilfred Zaha, some guy tried to get him sent off.
Oh, Remy.
Yeah, Remy... Ben Sabani tried to get him sent off by grabbing Wilf Zaha's hand and hitting himself in the face with it.
You do occasionally see that,
which
don't
I enjoyed. Yeah, but I thought that, and I thought this is good, so I'll bring that to the table. But it has been seen before. Mustafi was captain of Arsenal during the preseason friendly the other day because Koscielny refused to travel.
Right,
and this is amazing. Mustafi was wearing the captain's armband upside down.
Yeah, disrespectful.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is that a protest, Jim, or is just
I've just accepted that he's just probably going to stay forever until his contract runs down, because it seems like shifting him is going to be really, really difficult. To be honest, I'm delighted he got his boots on the right feet, so that's still a win for me.
But what I really wanted to bring to the table for this any other business thing is that Robbie Savage tweeted, and it's quite a nice tweet, tweeted, "So proud of Charlie Savage, of course his son, who's starting as a first year scholar at the biggest club in the world. Dedication, desire and sacrifices to get to this point, now the hard work starts." And a picture of his son dressed in the Man United kit. Some of the replies.
Oh yeah, it's well, let him be a proud dad.
Can I read some? You say that, Jim, but can I read three of them?
You're on the troll side for this.
"Must go through some hair product in your house."
Pretty basic.
"Hope he gets his football talent from his mum." You having that one?
Robbie Savage is an alright footballer. I rated him.
"Is he a natural, or did you have to pass on your best advice, Rob, aka shampoo twice, condition once?"
Right, okay, good.
I just thought it was fun.
I think they're probably the more milder ones.
Yeah.
Robbie Savage wins in that situation.
Absolutely.
And that's why I brought it to the table.
Did you see that Marlowe played Q8? In a friendly.
I did see this.
They exchanged little banners and stuff. It was all very weird.
It's quite a regular...
Can we have just going around playing non-league side? I love it.
This happens, doesn't it, in pre-season? You get these weird
not
fixtures.
Not against a national side.
Wait, yeah, I know that's a particularly weird one.
They were at the 1982 World Cup, Jim.
I know it's a particularly odd one.
Did you not see Gosford Borough against Germany last year?
Leatherhead played Brazil the other day.
Yeah. He went to extra time.
I know, I was brought on.
You weren't brought on because you'd featured for the reserves the day before.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Accrington Stanley beat Marseille as well. But you having that?
Can I
was
also...
That this summer?
Yeah. Can I also say, when you put Marlo play Kuwait in a friendly, you put it in the red and order quite late on, so I didn't click on it. I thought, I'll just wait for Pete to explain it to me.
Pronounce Kuwait.
No, but I thought you meant, I read it as Darlow, as in Carl Darlow.
Oh, like, he plays Kuwait.
What is Carl Darlow doing?
Well, you want the shot practice.
Yeah.
Take shots at me.
I mean, Dubravka's feeling rather alienated about the Newcastle project, he says. He did, me yeah. too, mate.
Well, he didn't feature against the Wolves. No. Darlow played the first half. Freddie Woodman played the second half.
I just thought everyone leaves. Junk it. The only way that man is going to leave that fucking club if they go to the third tier.
Junk the whole thing.
Junk it.
Move to the Sumo Wrestling House. Forget it ever happened.
Newcastle, Newco. That's what you want. Yeah. We should point out, by the way, in case anyone's wondering, Marlo, the reason why they play Kuwait were preparing for the West Asian Championship that's happening in Iraq soon. So they also played a couple of other non-league sides as well, Hungerford Town and Maidenhead United. But what I loved was Marlo chairman Terry Staines.
Stazo.
Right. Terry Staines.
Do it in his accent.
Saying, well, we didn't have anywhere near our best 11 out while they had a large squad.
3-2. Right. It finished 3-2.
They only lost 3-2, but I love it how Tez are still towing the party line. I don't care if they're in the actual FIFA real rankings. We didn't have our best side out.
In the real wankings.
What are the stains, Terry? They're blood, but it ain't mine. Yeah, they're the FIFA wankings. Sorry, everybody.
Can I also say that I'm trying to lobby Pete, and if you're listening and you're on Twitter and you're going to buy a ticket to the live show, ramblelive.com.
This has nothing to do with the wanking.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, of course. But there is a decent sized lobby that is interested in you doing at least part of the live shows, Pete, in a sumo wrestler's kind of
night.
And presumably you've got contacts over there where you can buy the proper silks that you need to wrap it.
You should have nicked it for that guy's house.
Apparently they make it wet and it sort of tightens like a around the
I think you
pieces.
Look amazing as a sumo wrestler.
They do that with claggy undercarriages as well.
Yeah.
Claggy undercarriages.
Go back
good
to
band.
That guy's house. And nick one of
don't might... steal from people's houses.
Not from a sumo wrestler. Are you insane?
No. What is he going to run after you?
Well,
they're pretty quick,
are they?
Yeah
it's not, like they're not as quick. You shouldn't get outrun by a sumo.
I
wrestler.
Sent you a great a piece about a sumo wrestler back in the 80s. He's one of the most talented sumo wrestlers in the world.
Yeah.
And he wasn't tall enough. He had to be 5'8" back in the day. But they relaxed these rules after this man, who was a really talented sumo wrestler, but he wasn't tall enough. He's like 5'7".
They called him the ball.
So he installed loads of silicon balls in his in his head. So there's a beautiful picture of, not the weigh-in, but like where the doctor was testing, like checking how high he was. And he'd install this weird silicon like lump on his head. So he looked like, I don't know, Eastern Island statue sort of thing. It's just a big...
Just to get over the line.
Just a massive
head. Did they let him in?
Head. They let him in, but then they realised that he had installed an extra bit
It's like an horrific version of when a kid tries to stay on their tiptoes to get me tall enough to go on a theme park.
Yeah, massively, massively. Yeah. It's wonderful. Man. Lovely work.
It's a cottage industry in that.
He was banned.
Sort of transplanting silicon into children's heads so they're tall enough to go on rides at the theme park.
I mean, he looked ridiculous. He looked like he had like a bouffant kind of like Elvis.
Like the guy who tried to smuggle half a kilo of cocaine under his toupee.
Exactly.
At least wear a hat.
Yeah, exactly. He wasn't even trying, that guy. Anyway, I think we've come to the end of it.
I thought we already had.
Yeah. we're still recording this, are we?
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. We're back on Monday.
Back now.
Well, we are.
Back now.
Yeah. Football Ramble Daily starts daily from the 5th of August, but we're back on the usual routine until then.
Absolutely right, Luke Moore. That was the voice of Luke Moore.
Thank you.
That was the voice of Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
That's Jim Campbell.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Boycott Arsenal.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.